house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead and let our musicians be seated. And we sure do appreciate you helping us all. You know, they have a major part in starting the service of getting us in the Spirit. Amen? Right. So once we really worship, that's when the Lord could really come down. And Brother Brenner mentioned it one time. He said, when you can get in the Spirit, he said, it makes it where the minister can step right in and get right into preaching. He said, but if you don't do that, then he has to fight for all those things through the service and then starting his message. So I will appreciate you doing your part. Amen. So it's wonderful. We've got my welcome guest. God bless you. Y'all just feel welcome this morning. Make yourself at home. My wife's going to have the scriptures. So if we would just turn in our Bibles. Let's go right into Isaiah chapter 53 and go to verse 1. As always, anytime you step behind the desk up here, I don't care if you've done it a million times, you're just as nervous as the first time you ever step behind it. So I pray that I never lose that. I hope I'm always nervous, because I think the Lord can take control when you do that. So let's read the scripture. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And let's go to one more scripture, the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, verses 17 through 19. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Go to one more scripture, if you don't mind. That's Psalms chapter 27. And we're going to read verses 3 through 7. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and then to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. You say, amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We ask you that you would help us to all get ourselves out of the way. Lord, let us not have any kind of premeditated expectation of what we think should happen or how it should happen. But Lord, while we are in this service, Lord, if we're diligently seeking you with all of our heart, we will get what we come for. Well, we come for you. We ask you to come and speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord God, I ask you to break every chain that would try to bind in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to speak to you on a thought. He who believeth receives power. He who believeth receives power. I don't know, many of you may already know this, some may not, but when you add an ETH on a word in the scriptures, it means a continuance. So it's not he that believed, but it's he that believeth.
Right.
So it's one thing to start the race, and it's another thing to finish it.
Amen.
Amen. Give you just a little quote to kind of start building a foundation about voice of many waters. Ministers preaching down the ages, have you ever thought how terrifying it is to a man drifting helplessly toward a cataract? Think now of that roar as he approaches his sure certain doom. And just exactly like that is coming the day of judgment, when the roar of the multitude of voices condemns you for not having paid heed ere it's too late. Take heed this very hour, for at this moment your thoughts are being recorded in heaven. Your thoughts speak louder than your words. Like the Pharisee who claims so much with his mouth, but not listening to the Lord, his heart became corrupt and vile until it was too late. Even now, this could be your last call to hear the word and receive it unto eternal life. It will be too late when you approach the roar of many voices of judgment and doom. But have you ever noticed how sweet and relaxing the sound of water can be? I like to fish. I like to find a spot where the water is whispering in ripples. I can just lie back and hear it speaking peace and joy and contentment to my heart. How glad I am to be anchored in the haven of rest where the voice of the Lord speaks peace, as the word of waters of separation had declared. How thankful we should be to hear his voice of the love and care and guidance and protection. And someday we will hear that same sweet voice speak, not in judgment, but in welcome to us, who have sins that have been remitted by his blood, whose lives have been filled with spirit, whose walk was in the word. What could be more precious than to hear the multitudes of welcoming voices, and he's surrounded by those multitudes who have believed unto eternal life? Oh, there's nothing like it. I pray you will hear his voice and harden not your heart, but receive him as your king. Oh, if you would only see it, it was the waters that destroyed the world, but it was the same waters that saved Noah and also saved the whole earth for Noah. Listen to his voice, the voice of his servants, as it calls to repentance and life. You say amen.
Amen.
The very same gospel that's going to condemn some people, to us, it's going to be a wonderful thing, because we realize we have judged ourselves already, and it's a wonderful thing to hear the voice of God.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham spoke about a statue of Christ, and how that this man had seen the statue, and he said, "I don't see anything special about the statue, it just looks like a statue to me." And they took the man and knelt him down in front of the statue, and the man looked up, and all of a sudden the man began to weep. Because what it was, he was looking at it at the wrong point of view.
Right. Amen.
And that's exactly the way the Word of God is with us. If we are on the wrong point of view, it is a discouragement and a fear to come in the presence of God.
Right.
But once you come into peace with the Lord Jesus, it's a wonderful thing to see.
Amen.
Amen. There was a time when Adam loved to hear the blowing of the wind, because it was a time for fellowship between him and God. Think of it, a man that could fellowship lip to ear with God, and they could have a free fellowship among one another, but he allowed something to step down, and we know that Adam stepped down to save Eve, but we're going to say it this way, Adam fell. And when he fell, the fellowship was broken, and at that point, when God would come down in the cool of the evening, it was not the same, because something had broken the barrier of fellowship between God and his man.
Right.
Amen. It's the same thing today, friends. Whenever you're in fellowship with God and things are right with you and God, it's a wonderful thing to feel the presence of God come into your presence whenever you are. But you allow something, the devil, to get a foothold in your life, you feel convicted every time you feel a preacher or another believer come in your presence. Why? Because there is a conviction in your heart. And then I'm telling you what, the Lord will never leave you there.
Amen.
Amen. Can you imagine a man holding his sweetheart in his arms, and they're in harmony with one another, and there being anything, could you imagine there being anything but love between a husband and a wife in perfect harmony?
Right.
She is in a vantage point of love, enjoying every moment with her Lord. I'm going to call her Lord. The scripture says, call her Lord.
Yes, amen.
What would cause her to be afraid or negligent to want to be in his presence? It is if she got out of harmony with her mate. Right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to go to verses 1 through 6. Amen. Would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you received another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Say amen.
Amen.
He was thoroughly manifested in his day.
Amen.
And in our day, it has been thoroughly manifested in this day that this word is truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Proven a thousand times, never missing one single time. Miss Jones, you were at certain such place, and I remember the message of, who is this Melchizedek? He said, we're going to show you the same ones in the building right now. He turns his back to the audience. He says, you and such are right here, and it was the same God that was there with Melchizedek, was with the prophet in this day. You say amen.
Amen.
The exact same one. He's been thoroughly manifested in our midst. How does it happen? She is beguiled. How does it happen that the falling away? It's she is beguiled to believe that there is a better way. There's a better way for pleasure. There's a better way to become greater in life without her headship. In the beginning, God created by faith in the spoken word, and she was beguiled into settling for creation by feelings, emotions, and she settled for being self-motivated.
Right.
The serpent didn't change the whole message. He just changed one word, not just in the denominations, but right in the message churches, the word is starting to be changed around the message. Right. Amen. God doesn't need an interpreter for his word. He interprets his word by bringing it to pass.
Amen.
Not only are some message preachers preaching their own interpretation of the word, but they're preaching their own interpretation of what Brother Branham said and what he meant. This is what Brother Branham meant when he said that. He meant what he said. You say amen?
Amen.
They have their own interpretation. The word says this, but this is really what it means. No, it means exactly what it said. Amen. He said, let there be light. Guess what? There was light. He didn't need no interpretation for that.
Right.
Amen. They'll become, well, they'll have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. I'm going to read a quote with you. It's, as I look and preach across the nation and watch the people, I am fully persuaded that the people are not getting to Christ. And I believe that it's the enemy that's thrown this hindrance. Because the reason I believe this is he is not the object that they have been pointed to. They have either been pointed a dogma or a doctrine or a party or an experience or a sensation or something like that. Instead of being pointed to Christ, the Word. That's why I think that people are resting their eternal destination upon dogmas or some sensation. Like some say, I danced in the spirit. I spoke in tongues. I felt fire run over me. And do you know all those things can be impersonated by the devil? There is just one thing that he cannot impersonate, and that's the Word. In the debate between he and Jesus, each time Jesus defeated, it is written, the Word. And I believe today that the reason that people are not coming to Christ is because they are pointed, many of them, to a denomination. You join a church, you read our catechism, or you believe our doctrine, or some sort of some sort. They are pointed in the wrong way, and their action and their life that they live without Christ proves it in their own life, is vindicated by the very thing. For instance, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but back and forth across the nation, I have condemned women wearing short hair. That's the Bible. I've condemned wearing shorts, using makeups, and every year it gets worse. It shows there's another finger somewhere pointing them some other way. And they're not getting through to Christ. And they say, we belong to a church. Our church don't. Don't make any difference what your church believes. God said it's wrong. And if they did get through to Christ, they would stop that. And not only that, but man would take his position if he got through to Christ and be against that. Husbands wouldn't let their wives act like that. Genuine man don't want his wife acting that way. You say, amen. Brother Graham talks about how the man nearly beat two boys to death because his girlfriend was going inside the gas station and she was dressed with nothing on at all. And these boys looked at her and made a comment to her over her sexual appeal. And the man nearly beat him to death. They took him to court and the judge said, why did you do this to this man? He said, why did she dress like that? He said, I think she looks cute. There's something wrong with that man's mind to believe that she looks cute like that, because if he truly loved her, he would not let her dress like that.
That's right. Amen.
And it's so sad it is to say, it's not just the wives anymore, it's daughters just alike. Whether you go to a Walmart or a ball game or something, the wife and the daughter are dressed just like a Jezebel, a prostitute on the street with no clothes on, paint all over their face. And the husband and the father will look right at them and say, I think they look cute. That's a shame.
That's right.
Because I'm telling you, every time someone looks at them with lust in their heart, they've committed adultery already.
Yes, right.
And she put herself out there doing that.
Amen.
And you know what? Brothers, it's the same way if you walk around with your shirts off.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. That's right.
Know what? If you truly love her, there's no way you'd want someone, because there's things about her body. There's only one person should see that, and that's her husband after they're married.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. It's a shame. The church has done the same thing. She's supposed to be clothed by the word of God. Families have left the message. They've started bobbing off their hair, wearing men's clothes, claim that they have found the truth. They testified with their own lips that this message is true, and now they're right out in the world, and you can't tell no difference between them and anybody in the world.
Right.
And now they'll even fall as far as even saying, this is the prophet over here. Point to a completely different man that has absolutely no vindication whenever we've had a prophet in this day that has been thoroughly manifested in this hour. There will be no room at the time of judgment.
That's right. Amen.
Because it has been thoroughly manifested in our midst.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Judgment begins at the house of God. We need to judge ourselves. Say, Lord, if this is in me, get it out of me.
Right.
I want it under the blood. Amen.
Right.
That's why they settle for denominations. Because it's easier to put on a denomination coat and be identified with the church and commend themselves with themselves. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise.
Amen.
And you say amen.
That's right. That's the word.
What do you say? He said, if I compare myself, well, I must be okay because I'm with everybody else. They're doing it, so I'm okay. But you know what? There's one thing we need to be measuring ourselves, and that is this word.
That's right.
In the message that's been given in our hour. That is our plummet.
That's right.
When we line ourselves up with the plummet, what's a plummet for? It's to make sure you're building the wall just straight.
That's right.
This is what we need to be building it by, not by some other church. It don't matter if this is the best message preacher known in this message. I don't care who it is. If he gets off of this word, I don't care who he is. He's backslid and he's wrong. You say amen.
Amen.
Right.
in my life, it don't matter what my stature is, if my life is not matching up with this, I'm wrong. And I need to come back to this word, because when he judges the earth, it ain't gonna matter what church you go to, it ain't gonna matter who your pastor was, it don't matter who your daddy is, it don't matter who your mama is, it's gonna matter what did you do with the word of God that was given to you. Because the Holy Spirit will come and he will knock on every heart, and every person will have an opportunity. He will be a just God when he judges this. There won't be one person say, well, I didn't have opportunity. Yes, you did.
That's right. Amen.
But it's what we do with that opportunity when it's given to us.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Read another quote. It says, now they had the world. They had what the world could not have. Jesus said that when he went away, he would send his spirit, which the world could not receive. That is right. The world or world systems could not receive him. That is what organization is. It's a world system. Show me a world system church that is fully of the Holy Ghost. I want to see it. If you can show me a church, such a church, you are finding a mistake in the word. No, sir. Not one of these messengers were organized. Either they put out or got out because they were convicted of the sin of the organization.
That's right.
How can the Holy Spirit possibly be in an organization when it is organization that takes the place of the Spirit and the denomination takes the place of the Word?
Right.
Remember, organization is death. It just can't be any other way. If the world takes over, the spirit departs.
That's right.
Amen. What do you think about that?
Right.
You ever feel like the spirit's left you?
Amen.
If the world takes over, the spirit departs.
Right.
That's in the church and that's in our lives.
That's right.
Yes, the spirit is not seven spirits, but one. He will always be the same and act the same. The seven messengers will have the same spirit and teach the same word and have the same power.
That's right. Amen.
And if the church is the true church, it will have the very same spirit and word and acts of power that they had at Pentecost.
That's right.
By experience, it will be a Pentecostal church, and there will be tongues, interpretation, prophecy, and healings. God will be in the midst of her, and God will declare himself in the midst of her as he always has. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she will be unorganized. Don't forget that. Now we can see that Jesus Christ is revealing himself through the ages by his spirit in the messengers. They are as Moses was to the children of Israel, as he had the revelation of his day. So each messenger had God's revelation and ministry for that day. But when we see that the messengers are in his hand, we see the Lord identifying himself with these men and granting them his power. It is not enough to be associated himself with the whole church, which we saw when he was seen standing amongst the seven golden lampstands. Nor is it enough that we see the fivefold ministry of Ephesians, four apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Now listen to this. For in each age, the church goes astray. And it's not just the laity, but the clergy group, the shepherds, are wrong as well as sheep. Then God brings himself on the scene as the chief shepherd, in the ministries of these seven men, to lead the people back to the truth and the abundant power of that truth.
Right.
God is in his people, all of his people, for if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, and he is the Word. That would be the Word. That would be the Word recognized in the people. But he has placed special leadership in these men of his choosing and through the determined counsel of his will. They will appear once in each age, not twice, once.
Right. Amen.
They will appear once in each age. It is the same spirit in them. What a far cry it is from the heresy of Rome. They have a man of their own choosing, one after their other, none producing the power of God, none abiding in the word of God, each one differing from the other before him and adding what he desires as though he were God. God is not in it, but he is in his messenger that he would have. The fullness of God would follow the messenger and the messenger of his follower of the Lord by his... I'm going to read that again because I didn't read that right. Let's catch this exactly. But he is in his messenger, and he who would have the fullness of God would follow the messenger as the messenger is follower of the Lord by his word.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
There is power in believing the word. There's power in the message of your hour.
That's right.
It was power of God when the walls of Jericho fell down.
Amen.
It wasn't by man's ability. It wasn't by man's power. It was God gave a promise. He says, you walk around here, you shout at this moment, and the walls will fall down.
Right.
What was it? It's a power of God. See, in man's ability, we are limited on what we can do. Because in man's ability, I might live this message for 10 minutes and I might fall flat on my face right after that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
By my own ability, I can try my very best with the due diligence of my own physical capability and I will fail, and I will fail well.
That's right. Amen.
You can count on it. If you try to make yourself act like something you're not, you're gonna mess up every time. But I'm telling you, whenever you take a tomato plant, as Brother Tony illustrated last week, Brother Tony, I'm telling you, I was in the Deer Woods and I just taking my mental notes of what I would speak if I was going to speak last, and that brother was going to write it down. I was like, you'd swear he was sitting by the tree beside me the whole time.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that.
Right.
But you know what? That tomato plant, he can be trampled on, he can be stomped on, and I'll say, forgive me for being so rude, it's a very rude of saying it, but it's just the way the Lord showed me in the woods. An animal could drop the most filthy thing imaginable upon it. It does not change it. It's still a tomato plant.
That's right.
In our life, you can have, I don't care how filthy it is, that of sin could be upon your life. It does not change. You are still a son or daughter of God, but you've got sin in your life. And I'm telling you, there's a powerful, powerful blood of Jesus Christ that has got power in it.
Right.
And it will obliterate the sin.
Amen.
Amen. It'll totally set the captives free.
Right.
I'm telling you, at one time they had blood of sheep and goats, and it'd be just a substitute for sin, and you still had the same desire.
Right.
But when you get the blood of Jesus,
that's right.
I'm telling you, when you get the blood of Jesus, it takes it away.
That's right.
You have no more desire of it. It makes you say, God, forgive me. I don't want to do that thing ever again.
That's right.
What is it? It's the power of Jesus.
That's
something we need more in the church. We need more in our lives on a daily basis is the power of Jesus.
That's right.
The power of the word. Wherever you've got this obstacle in front of you, you can say, I don't care if I look like grasshoppers in their sight. God said, I can take the land. I'm taking the land.
That's right.
Who's going with me?
Every promise.
Amen. And what it is you take God's word because that's where the power is at. Because if you try to do it without the word, you're going to fail.
That's right.
But if you line yourself up with this word, the word says, I have given you the land. You go take the land.
That's right.
You do it. Don't try to get an earthly king to do it. You go do it.
That's right.
Why do they want a king? It's because they get tired of mending fences.
That's right.
You've always got to go mend fences. You just fix this fence, and all of a sudden it's tore down all over again.
That's right.
And you've got stuff coming. You got to go. It's a daily walk.
That's right.
It's a daily battle. But you know what? Need to come and be settled for a king. You can have other people fix the fences.
That's right. Amen.
They'll fix the fences. I'll just pay my little dues. I'll just pay my taxes. I'll just do these things. God never called it that way.
That's right.
You get out and you mend the fence.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Amen.
That's the thing. We get lazy. We are lazy Americans. I'm telling you what. I'm guilty just like everybody else. We are so guilty.
That's right.
We're so lazy.
Amen.
We don't want to get up. We want things instantaneously. You want freely given. I'm telling you what. It's a sacrifice.
That's right.
Living this message is a sacrifice.
Right. Amen.
If you say no, it's not, then you're not living.
That's right.
I'm telling you right now because it is a sacrifice.
Amen.
You know what? Whenever the brothers, you have a desire, we have a desire for fellowship just like everybody else.
That's right.
But you know what? We make the decision. I'm not going to go around drinking. I'm not going to go around these things. I'm not going to go around this gossip.
Amen. Amen.
It's a sacrifice.
That's right.
Listen to me, young people. It don't change. When you're little, you have a desire for those things. But I'm telling you what, it is as a disciple, that's where you, it's a sacrifice, a daily sacrifice. You say, you know what? My flesh wants to do these things, but I'm not going to do that because my Lord deserves my prayers.
That's right.
My Lord deserves my time.
That's right.
And I'm telling you what, if you will do that, God will honor you, will bless you.
Amen.
Beyond measure, if you stay true to Him.
That's right.
Amen. If you'll wait and let God provide your mate for you, He'll be the right one.
That's right.
The thing is, people get too antsy. Rather than waiting for God to send them the right one, they're going to take the first one they see. Oh, they're so perfect.
Amen.
But God's choosing is different than our choosing.
That's right.
You look at that, whenever they chose a king, they chose the big, tall man, broad shoulders.
Right.
He had above shoulders. Good looking guy. This will be the guy. That wasn't who God chose.
That's right.
God chose a little ruddy guy.
Right, in the field.
Little guy that stunk like sheep.
Amen.
He's looking at all the men. He's looking at all the son. He says, is this the son? No, I thought, yeah. Is this the son? Yeah. Is this the son?
Definitely.
All the way down to Luke. And these are great men.
That's right.
Surely there's another. Oh, yeah, I've got one. You don't see him, though.
That's right.
He's a ruddy little guy.
Amen.
No Not problem. Much to him at all. But that was God's choosing.
That's right.
You know what? God could have chosen whoever he wanted to live this message. But he chose you and me.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
We stink like sheep. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
When he told them to tear, when you go down and you shout, and these Jericho walls will fall down, he never one time asked him, how do you feel about it?
That's right.
He never asked Joshua, well, Joshua, what did he really mean by the message when he said what he said? I mean, we know that's what he said, but this is kind of a different hour. Than what Noah, you may be thinking about what Moses would have said. This is a different day. What do you really think he meant? He meant what he said.
That's right.
Shout. Yeah. I'm going to hear it for us. Right. Speak.
That's right. Amen.
We live in a day where you can speak the word.
That's right.
And walls will fall down.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
We live in a day where we can speak the word.
Amen.
If you're lined up with the word. When we line ourselves up in the word of God, We there's power in this word. The word says we can have it. It's according to the word of God. I can speak to this mountain. Mountain, be moved.
That's right.
And that mountain will move.
That's right.
Even cancer.
Amen.
If cancer stands in my way, cancer be moved.
That's right.
Say amen.
Amen. That's right.
I've got this bill I've got to pay. I don't have the money to pay it, but I've paid my tithes. I've done. Bill, be moved.
That's right.
And you see if God don't move those mountains.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. There's power. Power in the word of God.
Amen.
Abraham was a simple man that had failures. He was a liar. He was a coward. Brother Daniel, he was a liar. Well, he in a way he was, because Sarah was like a half-sister, but he said that this is my sister. You can take her. He was a coward.
Right.
He was afraid. He was more concerned about his own skin.
That's right. Amen.
And put his wife up there. But when he believed God, when his visitation come, there was a power that come that changed his body.
That's right.
It's because he believed God. He didn't try to make his own interpretation of it. He took God at his word and God transformed his body. Say amen.
Amen.
Moses was a man that fell miserably. And the reason he failed was he tried it in his own ability.
That's right.
We will fail miserably if we try in our own ability. He was a coward going up to the mountain, and he was a warrior when he came down.
That's right.
He had to forget everything that he thought he knew so God can use him. Go to one more quote. It says, and we are born into this kingdom, and we Christians who believe and are in this kingdom. Now, over in the book of Hebrews, we read a while ago, for we receive a kingdom. Not receive a creed, not receive a system, we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. The world is falling apart, that's true. And every politician, every denomination, and every church will fall to pieces. But we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved.
That's right.
For if they who rejected him who spoke from Mount Sinai, and the earth shook beneath his voice, how much more, see, that you don't reject him. his word that speaks from heaven, from his kingdom. For we are in a kingdom that cannot be moved. Amen. Everything that's outside of that, God sent everything. He made it fragile so it would break. In its fragile condition like that, it's going to break. It's fragile. But remember that we got a kingdom that's solid now. When everything else falls and gives away, no wonder Eddie Perronet said, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, on all other ground is sinking sand." A kingdom, not a politicial system, not a political system, not a church system, not a denominational system. It all becomes Pharisees and doctors of the devil. But we receive a kingdom, an eternal king, who is in the eternal word, who has eternal life. By his eternal word to his eternal people who has eternal life, and we're partakers of this. Oh my. That's the thing. Now, anything that pulls you away from that is wrong. That's false Messiah, a false anointing. Oh, he said, the brother had such an anointing. What kind of an anointing? That's it. Hitler had an anointing too.
Right.
Khrushchev got one also. The Pope has got one. What kind of anointing have you got? If it's not anointed with the word and vindicate every word to be true, leave it alone.
Right. Amen.
Wrong. If it don't produce itself, then it's germatized. It'll show its color. Oh, say, but that was for another age. Leave that thing alone. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, sir. So when this world falls apart, we are born into a kingdom that cannot fall apart. You believe the world is falling apart? Its systems are falling apart. Do you believe that? Do you believe the economical system is falling apart? The political system's falling apart? The national, the UN system's falling apart. The church is falling apart.
That's right. Amen.
The denominations are falling apart. Everything is falling apart. But we got a kingdom that cannot be moved.
Right.
It's the eternal kingdom of God. It cannot be moved. We are told that the new system of this denomination of bringing this here World Council of Churches will bring peace to the earth. What a disregard. What a nasty slam in the face of Christ. What an irreverent, sacrilegious thing that is. It's of the devil. A man can organize something better than God can send him. The Tower of Babel. It's another Babylon that must fall. Peace on earth, that's a false Messiah. An Antichrist in its teaching. How are you going to throw these denominations together when they can't even agree with one another? Now, they can't even grow with one another now when they broke up in little systems like that. How about all joining together and getting over there? Yes, see, it's a false setup.
Right.
It's all done through Protestantism into Romanism, a false Antichrist spirit teaching. God's kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So if that kingdom is organized in this world, it's a false Messiah.
That's right.
This Messiah that's going to be offered to the Protestant church pretty soon that they'll take is because they're looking for it. They're looking for this system who can make, well, now we Methodists and Baptists, sure, we kind of agree together, you know. We Presbyterian Pentecostals, what's the difference of them? There's a big difference.
That's right.
God makes you different.
Right.
But, well, we just sacrifice this, and your great evangelical teaching, you give it up. How are you going to go in there with a bunch of them people that don't believe anything? Some of them atheists, and false Messiah is what it is. That's right. Yes, sir. You say amen.
Amen. That's right.
They have got this system where they're going to join together because they know this. There should be a unity.
That's
But rather than doing, like we said, it's just like having a king. The denomination system is just like having a king. We're going to take this denominational spirit. We're going to just take the form of godliness, but we're going to deny the power thereof.
That's right.
We're going to go to church. We're going to be good people. When people see us at the supermarket, they'll say, boy, that's just a good old boy.
That's right.
A good old boy to Mr. Rapture.
Exactly.
It's a false unity. God's calling a unity, but what it is, it's by being filled with the Spirit of God. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you cannot sit under a denominational system. So, Brother Daniel, why are you preaching about denomination? Because if you don't watch it, that filthy spirit will try to creep right inside and mess the church.
That's right. Amen.
Is that the truth?
Amen.
It will try to creep right into your own life where you'll live a denominated life where you're living no different than someone that lives in a denominational church.
Exactly.
When God said, you should look at it, said, there's a big difference.
That's right.
Yes.
Because we have the power of God.
That's right.
He said that the scripture says in Revelation 1, it talks about the stars were in his right hand. And the power was in those stars.
Right.
And them stars, friends, that is the light, the message of that hour.
That's right.
And it says the voice of many waters. They are preaching the exact same message that's in that star in their right hand.
Amen.
And as long as they're preaching the same message, as long as that star is in that right hand, there is power in that gospel that can preach.
Yes. That's right.
And I'm telling you, that's the thing. And what we need right now is a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because without the Holy Ghost, you're not going to go in the rapture. It's the Holy Ghost, a true transformation. But see, the thing is, people are trying so concerned to get them to the prophet.
That's right.
Get them to the prophet. I agree with that part. You got to get them to the prophet. You got to get them to Christ.
That's right. Perfect.
Because what's happened is they'll get you as far as the prophet, but they never get born again.
That's right.
There's never no change. If they take on a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof.
Amen.
Because, you know, down through the ages, they had a message. And when they preached that message across, they had to receive that message. When they received it, they were sealed away.
That's right.
But if you didn't receive that message, you were put under a temporary judgment.
Right.
Amen.
A trumpet sounded, there went a war. You say amen.
Amen. Right.
It was the message of their hour and the voice of many waters. I love that song, Rock of Ages. Hide myself in thee. Because the Rock of Ages, that's what it was. That was Jesus Christ in that hour. They heard that word and they say, I don't care what goes on around me. Lord, hide me in your pavilion.
That's right.
Lord, hide me here, because when the times of this trial start to come, the wind start to come, he is going to put me upon a rock.
That's right.
The revelation of my hour.
That's right.
I don't want their hour. I want my hour, because when I do that, it don't matter what happens. It don't matter what the devil brings. And if Satan's eating out there, as long as God has put me on this rock, there ain't nothing he can do to me.
That's right. Amen.
I can look at myself and the frailty of my flesh. I can look as a father and I can say, look at the young girls looking at my boys. Look at the young boys looking at my girls. And myself, I can say, God, how am I going to hold it all together? Amen. You say, amen.
Amen.
You know, you can look at yourself and see all the world out here. If Satan is testing and trying and poking, trying to find some way to get in to our solar system.
That's right.
He's trying so hard in every way, in every false doctrine he can try to tempt your young people with.
That's right.
He can try all these things, but I have confidence in this very thing. One desire I desire, and that is to be in the house of the Lord.
That's right.
My desire is to be here and to worship God. And I'm saying, God, when I sing, hear my prayer.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Because the scripture says, when you do that, he's going to place you up on a rock.
That's right.
Amen. When the enemies try to come, he said, it don't matter what your trials might be different than mine. You may be past the stages of young people, but you know your battle you're fighting. You know the fight you're doing where the devil is knocking every way possible, trying to get in. You may feel at times that I'm like a grasshopper.
That's right.
But we have the word, and there's power in the word, and I can say, I am going through.
That's right.
I'm taking my kids with me.
That's it.
Amen. Sometimes I might go through a knothole backwards. But they're going with me.
That's right.
You say amen.
Amen.
I'm not coming through a knothole backwards, but God's taking me with him.
That's right.
Amen. St. John chapter 1, verses 8 through 13. This is speaking of John the Baptist. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
Right.
Amen. Amen. There is power to become the sons of God. He said, "But Daniel, I thought we were all sons. Are you manifesting it?"
Right.
One of the most powerful things I've ever seen for me. And a quote that Brother Rhodes said, he said, "It gives you power to lay your life down."
That's right. Amen.
You say, how much power can that be? How strong is your life?
Amen.
How strong is your old man that keeps trying to rise up?
That's right.
That old man that will rise up. You know, a lot of people want to hear. They want to raise the dead. They want to do these things. How about, let's start with the first one. Let's lay your life down.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Because when you can lay your life down, God can move you on to greater things.
That's right.
I want the greater things, but I want to make sure I get this stuff in check first.
That's right.
In training, somebody wants to learn on the battlefield, but sure, they want to go straight to shooting the guns.
That's right.
Let's start with marching first.
That's exactly.
Because you know, if you can't get the walk right, it don't matter how good you shoot.
That's right.
That's right. Because if you're not walking right, God ain't going to give you the power.
Amen.
You'll be shooting blanks.
That's right.
Because he can't give you the real bullets because you'll be shooting your own men.
That's right.
Can you imagine God giving you the power to speak the world to existence and someone get mad at you and you want to speak them out of existence?
That's right.
Let somebody cut you off in traffic?
Amen.
Hello?
That's right. That's the word.
God's going to give you blanks.
That's right.
Because you're not ready for the real thing.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
That's why God will test you. He'll allow that devil to test you. He'll cause someone to cut you off, look at you, and just...
That's right.
Hello?
Amen.
I'm not the only one in this world. Come on. You just take your halos and just put them in your back pocket.
That's right.
You can put them up. You can pick them up after service.
Amen.
I'm talking about the real us that lives his daily walk. It's when someone does you wrong, and you know they've done you wrong. They know you did you wrong. It's in that moment, can you love your enemies?
That's right.
When they rip your beard down, in that moment, can you say, "Father, forgive them"?
That's right.
I'm going to tell you what. You got a casket up here. There's a man laying there. It's one of our wonderful saints, myself. We'll put myself on the pedestal on this one. I'm laying in the casket there. He can walk up to the casket and say, "Oh, Brother Daniel, worst singer I've ever heard in my life." He always made the joke that you ever hear this hideous saying in heaven. He said, "Praise God, Brother Daniel made it."
Yeah. Amen.
You're walking up and you see Brother Daniel laying in the casket. And you reach down and you rip some of my beard hair out if I had some. And I walk up and slap you in the mouth.
Amen.
You know what you're going to think? He ain't dead.
That's right.
He's alive.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You want a real test?
That's right.
Let someone rip your beard out. I raised up and I slapped him in the mouth. He's like, then I said, "Well, he was sure a poor soul." Lay down, Brother Daniel. He was such a poor soul. Oh no, I hope I don't die soon, but you get what I'm saying.
That's right.
When you're dead,
that's right,
those things ain't gonna affect you.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
We're gonna die.
That's right.
This guy needs to die. Because this thing has a natural reaction to want to defend myself.
That's right.
But a lamb will surrender his rights.
That's right.
A lamb will just give his wool away. And he will bear wool. He don't manufacture wool. He bears wool.
Exactly.
And you know, we, as believers, we bear this message.
That's right.
From the inside out.
Right. Amen.
And when the true testament of when you're bearing, I'm not talking about when you make mistakes. I'm talking about when you make mistakes and you do whatever you do, whatever you did, where do you have to go back to? When you feel that pull in your heart, say, "God, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that."
Right.
God, forgive me. And you go right back to him and say, "Lord, forgive me. I want your fellowship. Lord, I did not mean to do that."
Amen.
Say amen.
That's right. That's right.
That's the Holy Ghost working in your life. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes.
That's right.
But it means you've got to put this guy right here in check.
Amen.
You have got to keep this guy right here under your foot.
Right.
Because it is your worst enemy. It will cheat you. It will kill you. Not your wife, not your brother, not the guy down the street. You.
That's right.
Yourself will cheat yourself out of more blessings. The suicide is a terrible thing.
That's right.
Why do people commit suicide? I've been there before. I was 15 years old. Why does someone commit suicide? It's because they come to a point where they feel like there's no hope.
That's right.
There's no reason to live. That devil is a liar.
That's right. I'm telling you what, there's reason to live, there's reason to be happy, there's reason to be joyful, there's reason to be all these wonderful things. But that devil will try to paint a picture of gloom over your life to make you see everything that you have done wrong.
That's right.
And your whole thought process is off the wrong thing. You're a son and daughter of God, and you had nothing to do with it.
That's right.
You had nothing to do with it. No, you weren't born in flesh, you were born by the will of God. Amen. The will of God says, I have chosen you, that you will bear fruit, and that your fruit will remain. Put your name in the middle of that.
That's right.
I have chosen you and ordained you that you will bear fruit.
That's right.
And that your fruit will remain.
Amen.
You may feel like you fell flat on your face. It does not change a thing. You are still a son or daughter of God. You may have to do some reaping.
Amen.
But so you're still a son or daughter of God. Don't let that devil beat you down. Because I'm telling you what, there's power in the blood. There's power in this message when you line yourself up with the message.
That's right.
When you line yourself up with this message, it don't matter what storms comes, God will place you in that moment on a rock. And rock's a revelation.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
The rock is a revelation. So it's when our life is lined up with the word. And I said there's tests. The devil will try to test you every way. He'll try to show you. He'll try to push Trinity doctrine toward you. He's all the way past that, Brother Daniel. You know your trouble.
That's right.
The devil comes at you. It's your jab. My battle, different than your battle.
Amen.
My fences that I have to go mend is different than your fences. But you know your fence you have to mend. Well, Dan, I'm going to elaborate on that just a minute. You've got something that the devil fights you on, yourself. And let's say you pray through this battle that you've gone through.
Right.
You went to the altar, Lord, forgive me. And I built my fence. And then a couple months later it goes by, and you've got to go back and fix that same fence.
Right.
That devil will try to discourage you.
Amen.
Because your same fence fell down.
That's right.
Don't be discouraged. Get back up and fix the fence. That's easier said than done whenever the music stops, when you're by yourself. It's hard. But listen to me. Pick up yourself, fix the fence.
That's right. Amen.
And you start walking there's certain principles of a shepherd, and the shepherd does. Things that he has to do as a daily shepherd. And this shepherd, one of the things is, he's got to make sure the fence is right.
That's right.
He's got to make sure these things are in check. It's a normal process. You can't just say, I'm going to do this twice a year. I'm going to fix fences. Two times a year, we'll have a visiting evangelist come in, and he's going to preach a fire sermon. I am at that point, I'm going to mend every single fence. And once they're all mended, everything's going to look good. And then I'm going to worship God to the next year. And then the next year, when that evangelist comes, oh, I'll mend my fences again.
That's right.
Can't do that. We got to do it daily. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was smarter than any of us as far as quoting Scripture. And he had to die daily.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul was a messenger of the day. Paul was the greatest brother you could ever meet. And Paul had to say, this that I would do, I don't do. That I would never do, I find myself doing.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
We, Paul, as a messenger, if he's got this battle, friends, how big are we?
Right.
You're going to have the battles. How many knows what I'm talking about this morning?
Amen. Amen.
I'm talking about stuff that's right in your living room, stuff that you deal with, right in your car when you're living this message. Because you know what? We're going to take a rapture, but right now we are in a testing time.
That's right.
And you're going to be tested every way possible that you can imagine. Tested from the ministry will be tested. That's right.
Right.
Ministry will be tested. Trustees will be tested. You'll be tested on every aspect of your life. And if you're going through a hard time, it seems like everything keeps going. Do you know diamonds are created under great, tremendous pressure?
That's right.
A diamond is under extreme pressure and extreme heat.
That's right.
And sometimes you may feel like your head's going to pop off. All God's doing, he's making a diamond. During those times when you're under the extreme pressure, you say, Lord, I don't know if I can take anymore. He knows what you can take.
Right.
Do you know your body can go further than your mind? Brother Matthew, we brought that out here. The mind will go further. I'm sorry, the body will go further than the mind.
That's right. That's right.
I'm gonna give you an example. I got a gym that's close to my work. I like to put headphones on, and I'll go to the gym and I'll get on the treadmill, and I'll start running. When I first started running this treadmill, 3 minutes, I was huffing and puffing. Like, oh my goodness, I am so out of shape. I got two choices. I can quit, go home, put my stuff up, quit my membership, and say this is the way it's got to be. Or I can suck it up, pick myself up, look at these other young bucks around me that are just running like nothing.
Yeah.
I can look at them and get discouraged, or I can say, it don't matter what they're doing. It don't matter how far they've excelled. It don't matter if they're ahead of me. It don't matter if they're below me. Only what I'm concentrating on this right now is me.
That's right.
And so I said, I chose. I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to suck it up, and I'm going to get myself back in shape. A few days go by. 10 minutes goes by. I'm running. Guess what? I forgot. I didn't even think about 3 minutes. 10 minutes had gone by. And I'm like, wow, I'm making some changes. A few days goes by, and I'm not getting much past 10 minutes. And then I started realizing, the Lord started dealing with my heart, saying, you know what? You can do all the physical you want to do, but if you ain't changing your diet, you're not going to make a difference.
Right.
And so I had to realize, it don't matter how much physical stuff I've got to do, I've got to change my diet.
Amen.
You got to change what you're eating on a daily basis.
That's right.
You've got to change these things. And so I started changing diet. Brother Tony got me on what's called a keto diet. And I'm going to tell you, the first few days were absolutely brutal. I thought I was going to die. Some people know what I'm talking about. It got to the point, one of the days I got sick, I thought I had the flu. I legitimately thought I had the flu. I was so sick. I was like, oh my goodness. And someone said, you probably got the keto flu. I was like, yeah, are you telling me? And they're like, no, I'm serious. There's a keto flu. And what it was, my body was changing from burning sugars to burning fat. And so I had to just, listen to what I'm saying. When you first start making changes on your diet,
right,
it's really tough. You're to the point it'll make you sick.
That's right.
But if you can get past that sound barrier, you get past that few days where I'm cutting myself off of these things of the world. I'm not going to do these things in the world. It's tough the first few days. I'm telling you, you feel like you're going to explode. But once you get past that barrier, you're fine. I don't even crave the sugar as much anymore.
That's right.
And the next thing I knew, my weight started dropping. And the first time in a long time, 213 pounds. First time in a long time. I said, well, Dan, you got a long way to go. You tell me. My point is, got on the treadmill the other day, and I started running. Remember, I started out 3 minutes. I said, I got a choice. I could quit, or I can press on. My choice. I can commend myself with one another. I can make excuses, or I can say, you know what, big boy, you are fat. You're out of shape. You got to line up.
Right.
Honestly, you
got to do.
The day I got on that treadmill and I started running, 15 minutes goes by. 20 minutes goes by. 25 minutes goes by. God's my witness. Run the treadmill, 6.2 miles per hour on the treadmill. 6.2 or 6.3, I can't remember. But I was running. And I was so full of energy.
Amen.
I was like, oh my goodness. I'm feeling great. I didn't want to stop. For the next thing I knew, my lunch hour was over and I had to get off the treadmill. I could have went longer. What am I saying? You change your diet. Along with the self, not you don't live by self-motivation, but there is a little bit of self-motivation in a Christian walk because you have to make your own sacrifices.
That's right.
Because it's a sacrifice whenever I have a desire to do this, but I choose not to.
Right.
I have a desire that I could go sleep during my lunch hour. But instead, I'm going to motivate myself. I'm going to get on that treadmill.
Amen.
You say amen.
Right.
We can make a choice. Because I'm talking natural times spiritual. When you first start your spiritual diet, it's tough. But if you can get past that sound barrier, and trust me, I feel like I was going to explode. Go to our church on Sunday afternoon and be on a keto diet. And they've got all these desserts and everything. Like, oh, goodness, that smells good. Smell that food. It's tough.
Amen.
But if you can get through that sound barrier, you can wave that wafer cookie in front of me, whatever they are. Wave it in front of me. It don't matter. Because, and you know what I started noticing? As I started changing my diet, I realized how much bad stuff I was eating.
Amen.
I realized how many times people bring a bag of burritos, pizza, biscuits, sandwiches, It's ridiculous. It's no wonder I got so fat. And by myself. It's no wonder. Let me say something. My wife, my family, and I, we said, you know what? I have got to get some keto food. I'm going to go for healthy food. So we go to Walmart, and you try going to Walmart, and you try looking for healthy food.
Amen.
Out of all that merchandise out there, you might find three rows that's got one little quarter of a shelf of one product on it that's got healthy food on it.
That's right.
Everything else would be wonderful. It'd be perfect, almost, except for one little ingredient.
That's right.
And that's exactly like this world. You try to find something pure that you can go to, that you and your family can go and do. You try to find something pure that you can go to, and it'll all be pure except for.
That's right.
Is this, I'm talking about, as a young person, as a middle age, however you want to call me at that age, we're talking about in a world to where diet is completely off the table.
That's right.
And it's because we are what we eat. And you talk about spiritual, a spiritual diet. Friends, it don't matter how good the message is, if they put just a little bit of false doctrine in there, it kills the whole country.
Right.
That's what Brother Renham said. What kind of anointing has he got? What kind of anointing does that preacher have? You have, it don't matter. This part right here, as far as the ministry, this is easy. This is the easy part where you can speak. But it's when you're out there,
that's right,
and you're living.
That's right. Amen.
That's when your real ministry takes place. Say amen. Let's all stand. I don't want to drag this out very much. You can sing on the mountaintop. When you're on the mountaintops, friends, you can worship, you can do all these things, but it's when you are in the heat of the battle. When you're in the heat of the moment to where I don't have any Holy Ghost bumps, I don't have any music moving. Seems like everything that I've tried to do fails. Seems like everything that I've touched falls apart. Imagine how Job must have felt. Everything he touched. But he was still a son of God.
That's right.
Even in the midst of his trial, even in the midst of his coldness, he was still a son of God. But God was putting in a test. And God's going to test you. He's going to test you in your finances. He's going to test you in your, I'm going to say, your social life.
Amen.
He's going to test you every aspect of your life. And he's going to be pressure. This will be temptation like you've never seen tempted before. Am I telling you the truth?
Amen.
There's going to be and during those times, that's when you're not on the mountaintop, but that is whenever you say, it is written.
That's right.
I'm not going by my feelings right now. I'm not going by emotions right now. The doctor just told me you got cancer. During that time, you're not going to feel the Holy Ghost bumps. Right. During that time, you're going to feel those things. Right then, in that moment, that's when you say, it is written.
That's right.
By his stripes, I was healed.
That's right. Amen.
Whenever you are alone and the devil tries to tell you you are not good enough, you shouldn't be raising your hand, you're a hypocrite, you may as well give up. There's nothing, you'll never make this. You'll never live this message. That's exactly why so many people have left this message. They listen to the devil.
Amen.
They listen to that devil tell them you can't live it. The reason you keep having these fences fall down is because you're a hypocrite. You're trying to be something that you're not. That's a lie of the devil.
Amen.
The reason you've got fences falling down is because you've got a devil that's trying to fight at you.
That's right.
Yeah, but he's a toothless lion, if we'll allow it. But the devil will have just as much teeth as you allow him to. Let me show you something. The musicians, just bear with me just a second. You can take an alligator or crocodile, and as long as you've got his mouth shut,
that's right,
you can hold it shut with two fingers.
Amen.
They'll literally have a little bitty rubber band holding his mouth shut, and there ain't a thing he can do about it. But you let him open his mouth up, and he can crush arms right off. Not a problem.
That's right.
Once he gets his mouth open. But think about it. You have got to keep his mouth shut.
That's right.
And that's the devil. You got to keep the devil's mouth shut. Don't listen to his lies. When you feel a sickness coming on you, don't you speak that. Say, I'm feeling sick. You say, by his stripes, I'm healed. You hold his mouth shut.
That's right.
And you watch that devil leave.
Amen.
You feel that devil telling you that you're not good enough. You're never going to make it. You've tried so many times and you failed. You hold his mouth shut.
That's right.
Because when you do that, even a child can defeat that devil.
Amen.
That's right. The thing is, we get too smart. We try to overcome him with our own stinking thinking.
That's right.
We got to get our stinking thinking out of the way, because we don't defeat the devil by our thinking.
That's right.
We defeat the devil by faith.
That's right.
And listen to me. Blind people goes by feelings.
That's
right. Blind people goes by feelings. We don't go by, we go by faith.
That's right.
It don't matter what I look like. I am the Son of God. This word is true. I may not look healed. I'm going to tell you something. When my back got hurt, this last time, my back, it was absolutely, I felt it was absolutely hurting again. I was an excruciating thing. I had back surgery, and my back was down. I could not raise my back up past this. And I had probably felt the most pain I've ever felt in my entire life in that very moment. It hurt so bad, I literally had sweat just pouring off of me. And I was bent down. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm hurting so bad. And I hollered at my wife. I could not raise up. Could not raise up. And I've had poured sweat pouring off me. I hurt so bad that something, and she said, we need to get you to the hospital. And the Lord spoke up inside me and said, by his stripes, I am healed. And I said, and I had a choice at that moment. I could give up or I could take God at his word. And I remember I was knelt down, and I said, I am healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am healed. I am healed. And all of a sudden, my back went straight. I was like, oh, my goodness. I said, praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. She said, we need to take you to the hospital. I said, no, we don't. Get my walking shoes.
Amen.
She got my walking shoes, and I started walking down the street, and I said, praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. And 6 years ago.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
At that point, the doctor thought I was going to need surgery before that. He came back. He said, well, I don't know what happened to you, but you're perfectly fine. Like,
right.
I know what happened.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Tim, you said, sing us a song, brother. You speak the word.
Bless your name.
Your chains fall.
Truth the way. praise the name of the Lord, it makes all the difference.
Amen.
And, you know, Paul and Silas, they're in the prison. I don't think none of us have ever actually been in a situation like they were in.
No.
You know, and so if, like Jonah and the whale, lying vanities, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So when that song says you're in a prison in your mind,
uh-huh.
because that's the only place it would be. If you're in a prison in your mind, then you're in a prison.
Yeah.
But if you can lift up your voices and begin to praise, like Brother Dan illustrated a while ago when he was in back pain, and begin to say the promises of God, speak the promises of God, then you're not in a prison.
Right.
Not in your mind, and you won't be in your flesh if you just wait just a moment.
Yeah.
I keep thinking sometimes about the form letter that Brother Branham sent out, and I had a copy of it. There may be one on the bulletin board, but when he would send out with a prayer clause, and in there, this one thing that stuck out. He said, don't be occupied with whether or not you have faith or not.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Don't analyze, do I have faith, do I not have faith? He said, don't even do that. He said, just confess the promise of God.
That's right.
And so because he is the high priest of your profession, and
that's
to
right.
profess is to agree.
That's right.
Right. To say the same thing in agreement. And I've seen this happen in my own life. Like Brother Daniel has illustrated, you could be in a situation you may have had for years, pain that hits your body in a situation you just can't seem to get over. And while that time is there, not when you feel good, but right in the face of that time when the devil's got you down, what seems like, you start praising God. You start confessing the word of God.
Yeah.
And watch what happens.
That's
it
right.
will absolutely change. It may take a while. God is the author, how long it takes, okay? He's the one who knows how to make that, as we said last week. He's the Lord of the harvest. He knows how to determine how much you're going to reap, whether good or bad.
Yeah.
But he may let you sit that way for a week, it may be a month, maybe a year, but you just keep right on like your father Abraham,
yeah.
and it doesn't make a bit of difference if it's 25 years, you just keep praising God and confessing that word.
Yeah.
I'd rather, I think even Brother Ram talked about this, rather go down confessing the word of God than to compromise.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
To just stay with it. And man, I was, Brother Daniel in his opening scripture there, talking about the bride, the spirit and the bride say come. And I just, it struck me so vividly there when he was reading that, you know, the scripture doesn't say anything about any other churches being in unity with the spirit.
Right. Come on.
But at the end time, last of the book of Revelation, last of the ages, it is the bride who's in tune with the Spirit.
Right, right.
So, I mean, if we search out through the whole entire world and want to find out, what is the Spirit saying? What is the mind of the Holy Spirit? What is he trying to say to people in this day? And you'll find out that the bride of Jesus Christ is the one who's speaking exactly the same thing as the Spirit says, because the Scripture said, the Spirit and the bride say come.
Mm-hmm.
So in that hour, if there is a net being cast out, if there is a voice being saying come, come to the very thing that will save you, guess what it is?
Mm-hmm.
It's the voice of the bride. And the voice of the Spirit in the bride saying one and the same thing.
Right, right.
Who's the bride?
Amen.
Right? Who's
Amen.
The bride of Jesus Christ?
Right.
Is she a church that has rejected any portion of the Word? Because Christ is the Word. That's
right, right.
that's one of the greatest revelations that we can have is that this person that we think of that walked up and down the shores of Galilee, to think about that, we're thinking him as a man, but he is every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Right, right.
So if there's any portion of God's word that we reject, we cannot be the bride.
Right, right.
Because the bride is the one that says, I'll marry this man, I'll marry everything that he is. If he's got a crooked nose, if he's got a certain idea that I don't necessarily agree with, or the rest of the world don't agree with, I'll say amen, I'll marry that, and I'll be proud to say, this is my husband.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you could look at him and he is the word, you could find in the scriptures that he's one God, not three.
Right.
You
right.
won't be offended in that.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
If you find in there that serpent had a seed, you won't be offended in that, because that's part of Christ.
Right. Right.
See? So who is the one that's going to be speaking the same thing that the Spirit speaks? It's going to be the one who said amen to everything that God revealed that was
right.
in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the difference. And so she's the one that speaks it. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we've heard this morning. This whole world can say and do whatever they want, but everything goes right back to this right here. Right here. And we have to have a personal relationship with the person of the Word.
That's right.
And I will tell you, if you say, I got the Holy Ghost, I speak in tongues or whatever, if you have the true Holy Ghost, He will amen
every
the
word.
Revealed Word. Yep. Amen. Every portion of it. He cannot endorse something. It's just like I've said it many times in different ways, but you know, the Word is the very body that God expresses Himself through. He is His Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and Thy Word is truth.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit is the very spirit form of the letter of the Word and of the spoken Word, right? And so that Holy Spirit can't come along and get into a different body.
Right.
He only expresses Himself through His body.
Right?
So if you believe something that's not in the Word, the Holy Spirit cannot endorse that, cannot anoint that.
Right.
Because it's not Him. He only expresses through His own body, which is thus saith the Lord, right there in the Scriptures.
Amen.
And that's how you know the difference. That's how that it doesn't make a difference in this end time mysteries being unfolded and revealed. It doesn't make a difference if somebody can speak in tongues, if they can pray for the sick and they be raised or the dead raised or whatever. Makes no difference if they're off of the Word.
That's right.
And that's the test that you and I have come to, right? That's the test that people were through every age, right? When the serpent came to Eve, she had the truth.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
But he appealed to her desire to do it in a way that appealed to her.
That's right.
Right? We don't want to do this our way. Mm-hmm. You don't want to serve God your way.
Right.
Right? You want to do it by the way that's been given to you, by the leadership that God has given to you in this hour.
Amen.
That's what you follow. And if we want to go with our, I think, right there he's got you. It's done deal.
Right?
It's a done deal. Because guess what? The seed that's placed in the womb, that's what you give birth to.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? And he read the scriptures there. But Paul said, he said, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. Because, you know, he was sent to the Gentiles to find a wife for Christ. Mm-hmm. And so he's speaking to a Gentile church and he says, I've espoused you to Christ. In other words, after a waiting period, you're going to be married to him. But you've got to be a virgin. And I've espoused you, but I fear that as you're beginning to believe a different preacher, a different doctrine, you're not going to be that chaste virgin for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you believe something, if you receive something contrary to the Word, then it's a different seed, it's a different life. And guess what? You'll give birth to it.
That's right.
You give, and when something, I keep saying this, you probably get tired of hearing it, but when something is birthed, it's alive, and you can't just say, oh, I'll take that back.
Right. Yeah.
When you've birthed something contrary to the Word, now you've got a living, breathing entity that's contrary to the Word. There's your denominations.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They got great power. They got great charisma. They got money. They got all kinds of programs. But the very life that birthed them is contrary to the Word.
Right.
See? But yet claiming to be Christ. And I'll tell you, go back through the scriptures, all the way back to the garden, and Satan's always tried to get over there and become a manifestation and make it look like he was God's people, and in our day make it look like he's Christ.
That's right.
And it's him been trying to hijack all the way. He's just trying to find a way that he can be saved, but he can't be.
That's right.
Amen. So I appreciate what Brother Daniel had to say this morning.
Amen.
We need to be serious. The Lord's been dealing with me, And I think maybe unless he changed my mind, I'm going to maybe do a little series, and I'm going to call it this, If I Was God. And not, you know, because you hear somebody say, well, if that was me, I'd tell you how I'd do it. But that's not what I'm trying to say. But I want to take our ideas, our mind, and I want to transport you into the person of God. And I want you to say, you know, if I was God, and I had the attributes that he had, and I have the character and the love and the plan and the desire that he has. If Satan rose up and did thus and thus, here's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Why I would do what I would do. And if this rose up at the end time and come against my people, this is why I would deal with it that way. So that you can understand there's a reason why God does the things he does. There's a reason why he asks us to believe the things that we believe and act out the things he wants us to act out. There's a reason for it. Right. He's not like some of the grown-ups of my day that when you'd say, well, why? They say, because I said so.
Uh-huh. Right.
Well, that's true because God said so, but he wants you to know why.
Yeah, right.
Because you can only rule well when you understand why the judgment has to be thus and thus.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
So we thank God for what he's given. Let's sing These Are the Days of Elijah, because without the days of Elijah, without Elijah coming in this day, well, you know what? We wouldn't be where we are.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something. Elijah was a judgment prophet. If you look at Malachi, what is God saying to them? Well, you've robbed me, you've done this, you've done that, because he was bringing them into a court case. But the same Elijah anointing that could bring fire and judgment upon the disobedient was the same one that brought a restoration.
That's right.
Amen? And to them, it's judgment, but to us, it's restoration.
Amen.
It's wonderful. Amen. So we'll sing this, and you can be dismissed. Amen.